and save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Calgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. Also, Mr. Floor, MrFloor.com, and Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, 80 at fastsigns.com, and our buddies over at AWM Construction, AWM Roofing. com, and it's all on. What were you pointing at there, Fuzzy Robbie?
I'm pointing at the logos. See?
Oh,
on,
yeah,
on
right
Facebook.
There.
Yeah. Hey, he's doing the Vanna White thing.
Oh, good. They're perfect. See? Can you give it a spin? There you go. So, oh, perfect timing, too. There you go. We're broadcasting worldwide and live on MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts or preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud. And on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at MightyHouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611.
.com.
And you'll, no, not yet. Wait. And you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. There you go, Fuzzy Robbie. Nice. You got it now. That's perfect.
Nice.
See, there we go. Okay, if you can't tell, Robbie's not here today. She's off at another family gathering, a graduation, a wedding, you know, what?
One hope of the things. Rain stops for her.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a graduation without, like, the after party, right? That's the whole point of going.
Yeah, sure.
It's like a wedding.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares
sure
about the ceremony.
Graduated already.
Right.
Because you can never get enough tickets for an actual graduation.
Right. Yeah. At least around here, they give you, you know, you get two. That's it.
Oh, exactly. And then each one after that's $50, right?
No, it's not even an option.
You just get two and that's it?
That's it.
That's it. Not enough room at the inn.
Yeah.
I graduated with less than, I think, 150 people.
Uh-huh.
So, in my entire high school.
Right.
Like, so there was plenty. Like,
there's plenty of room.
They just did it outside and people sat on their balconies. It's like, yeah, we're here.
Right.
Excellent. All right, so second hour.
Yeah.
A couple things I wanted to get into. Last hour was all pretty much sump pumps.
Mm-hmm.
So we got way deep into the weeds or into the water, I guess.
You
could say.
It's deep.
It's deep water that we into.
I take it Trixie's not there.
No, Trixie's not here either.
No. That's why we were able to get so deep into it.
I was going
to
say, no wonder why, because she would have stuck her head in at least and thrown something at you. Now I fully get the picture.
Hey, Rich, it's just us, brother.
Yeah.
We get to do whatever we want. Whatever we want. Yeah. So that's just
scary.
It. Yeah, I know. So something else that happened last week, and it happened in the... It's summer. The furnaces really aren't going too much. We had two more people pass away from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Really?
In the local Chicago area here.
From what?
That's terrible.
Cars or water heaters, furnaces?
It must have been the water heaters. Because the furnace wouldn't have been running.
No.
So it had to have been the water heater that got knocked, you know, the exhaust got knocked loose or something. And
how often should I check my CO2 or my carbon monoxide?
Your detector?
Yeah,
you should
detector.
Have one.
Well, how often should I check it to make sure it's still going?
The problem is they're kind of useless.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like most things that they're useless until you absolutely need it.
Well,
like, I'm sure those two people.
No, it's just the way that they're designed. I mean,
let him explain.
We talked about this, and we're going to go into weeds again.
Yes, okay. Here we go.
That's fine.
Carbon monoxide detector that you buy at the store is good for 7 to 10 years, but they are set to go off at 70 parts per million. After 4 hours. So if can have this water heater problem going all day long, but because you're going in and out of the house, you break that 70 parts per million, it resets. It's not until you go to bed that you're not moving around, you're not opening a door or a window, and the thing will actually might chirp at midnight if you went to bed at 8 or 2 in the morning if you went to bed at 10. If you
don't hear that,
it's possible because you're already knocked out from the carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
I don't believe, I mean, we put them in every property we have to because it's code, but I'd still rather people find low-level carbon monoxide detectors that will start chirping at 4 parts per million.
Okay. And then where do I put it? I don't put it in my bedroom with me. I want to catch it as close as possible to the source, right?
No, actually, like the portable ones, we keep in the nightstands next to you.
Yep. Really? Okay.
You know, yep. They're portable. Take them with you wherever. The only thing is you got to pull the battery out when you're driving down like the road because
if you get
Dan Ryan,
traffic,
they'll go off.
Yeah, if you're stuck in traffic.
Okay.
I was bringing mine home, had it sitting on the truck, air conditioning running, summertime, in traffic. It was still in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And it started chirping.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's where your road rage comes from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people get irritated because they're sitting in traffic. The carbon monoxide's giving them headaches. And that's where a lot of the road rage can come from, is because of the carbon monoxide poisoning. So
okay.
Those low-level ones are really good. And it's COExpert. .com if you want to get one of the low-level ones. You can.
But I don't know. Are they back in business or whatever? That's the one problem. I'm telling people to go get low-level carbon monoxide, but I don't know if you can get them.
Well, I can't remember if... Because
he passed away.
Correct. And we had him on a few
years. The family was taking it over.
Right. And I think they're going through...
I just went to their website. I'll give you...
Give a catch-up.
January, upon the death of George, which George used to come on our radio show, and that's where we got ours from. Probate court. Oh, that screws things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now it doesn't sound like they're for sale.
Well, it's the law to have them, right?
No.
No?
Nope.
Come on, Illinois.
Level. The law is to have a carbon monoxide detector in your home.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, you have to at least have one something.
Well,
what level
one
do
on
you
each
have
floor
to have
and
at?
Within 15 feet of bedrooms.
Okay.
But the problem with them, again, is that the first generation used to go off all the time, so they called those nuisance calls. So they changed it to 70 parts per million for 4 hours. And by then, you've already got some issues.
Yeah, and you can't get out of the house with it. I mean, the way you're saying is it's already filled up your bedroom. You're already out.
Right. And OSHA, did you go over the OSHA requirements of 30 parts per billion? At that point, firefighters are supposed to put on respirators and have their oxygen mask.
Wow. So even the people that have to come and rescue you.
Yeah. At 30 parts
per
billion, they should be wearing oxygen mask respirators to be able to come in your home. And the detector that's in your house is, what was that, 70 parts per billion after 4 hours?
Wow. Right?
So, you know.
What's the point of having them then? Like exactly like you said.
And there you go. So now you know where Rich is coming from.
That's where I, you know, it's code. We put them in, but in a sense, no, I think they're just no good.
So we're all in agreement that you do need one.
Oh, yeah, without
I mean,
a doubt.
You absolutely need one. That's a terrible way to go.
Yes.
I mean, because it's a lot of times it's just a broken pipe or something's leaking or so.
It's less than a $50 fix.
Exactly. Yeah. And nobody wants to be like, oh, $50 or my life. Eh, well, I mean, I really need that $50.
Right.
I got gas money coming up.
Right.
But essentially, you guys say to get a lower parts per million and then set it right next to you, right?
It's on our nightstand, too. That's where we've got ours.
Okay. So it's almost like wearing those radiation badges. Like maybe I should just get one that just clips onto my hip, and then everywhere I go, I'll know that I'm safe from carbon monoxide.
Well, firefighters have them hanging on their on their equipment.
They just chirp at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they know. So you know that those kinds of things, everybody should have one, and you can check with your local HVAC guy. He may have some of those low-level detectors.
Okay.
But they do have some that even have readouts. They may not chirp or make any noises, but at least they have the low-level points.
It'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, and once it starts...
And I know that Kidde makes those, because I used to have one in my basement, because I had a gas-fired fireplace in the basement, which, you know, always kind of scary.
Why not?
So I had a plug-in one that was at the floor, because... And it would show, it would display if there was two or three or four parts. It didn't alarm till 70, whatever.
Right.
But if you were down there and you had a fire going in the fireplace, you know, and you're sitting around, I just kind of glance at it and see if it was going up or down. And if it was at two or three, I wasn't worried about it because I had the fireplace going.
Right.
But if it started rising, you just turn off fireplace, open a window, whatever. You know what I mean? You need makeup air.
Right.
So of all the things that should be smart in your house, your CO2, your CO meter should be one.
Right. Right. Okay. And people pull in an attached garage. They leave the car running.
Oh, my gosh. And, why would you do that?
And they close the door and go in the house. And
I haven't seen any movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, or if you have a hybrid, you pull in, forget to turn it off, you run the battery down, and then the car starts and runs. And so we've had a lot of hybrid issues.
It's the same thing with your generator.
Yep. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm going to find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 847-475-1590 and get all your answers from the experts.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live. MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-711-5611, you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. There, Fuzzy Robbie nailed it. Nailed it.
You only have to teach me three times.
And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how do they do that?
You go over to MightyHouse.net, go to the Contact Us page, and just fill in first, last name, email address. And I looked at that the other day. There's something else you asked in there, and I can't remember.
Huh.
Anyway, click on, you know, submit, and you're good to go. Get the newsletter each Friday. Find out what's coming up on the show, possibly on Saturday.
Okay. Excellent. And we're going to be broadcasting live from the Custer Street Fair in Evanston next weekend. And gates open at 10, but you can come in and check us out. We're going to be right along the Sketchbook Brewery, right outside of the Sketchbook Brewery. Mm-hmm. So if you can find that, you'll find us.
And yeah, down Chicago Ave.
And we've got a bunch of stuff. We're giving away tickets to the Sketchbook Brewery. I think you probably have to be over 21 to win
those. I think so, yeah.
That'd be fair. Firehouse Grill, we'll have tickets to that.
Mm-hmm.
Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, we'll have some probably discount tickets from them.
Probably.
And then movie theater tickets. And then First Northern Credit Union, they're giving away free loans or something like that.
Maybe, right? Sure, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
free money.
It's...
And here's another thing we can add to the spin.
Oh,
We've got some of those, the Mighty House level tape measure notepad deals.
If you can hit me, Randall.
Here, you want me to come on the other side?
He's got it. There you go. Transition over. Boom.
There you go.
We could do it this way, too, because I have.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, back it up just a little bit there, Rich.
Yeah, see, because I have that goofy camera in the tablet. So
yeah, back it up a little bit more. Back up, back, beep, right there. Go. Hold it. There you go.
That's it.
Now stop shaking.
Yep.
Not happening.
Give him another beer. He'll calm down.
No, this thing's great.
I never had that coffee this morning.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
It's brutal.
I carry this guy in my bag.
Yeah.
So I've got just a generic bag of holding that I've got.
Right.
The thing I took out, though, is the belt clip.
Yeah.
The belt clip snags a little bit in my bag, so, uh-huh. I mean, I just keep it in there anyway.
Right.
Without the belt clip, you just slide it in your pocket. That's the other part about that I like about this. It's really compact. It's right there.
Yeah.
What's up?
Almost every other tape measure I ever buy, I always take the belt clip off.
Except for this one?
This one sits on my desk.
Yeah.
Okay. But...
Because it drops in your
problem.
Pouch.
But all my tapes, I take those off because they mess you up in your pouches as well.
Yep.
Yeah. No, this thing is great. It's a little level on it. I mean, you don't have to get like an app on your phone or anything like that. It's really neat. And what I always hate is you can do a lot of things with your phone. You can get an app. You can get whatever, a level. You can get the thing you can't get on your phone.
The tape measure.
The tape measure.
Yep.
You can't do it. I mean, you can. I guess there's an app out there that'd be like, oh, I got this type of phone.
Right.
But to measure something, I'm still using knuckles. I'm like, how many thumbs and how many knuckles are things? Just just one cubit, just elbow to fingertip. Uh-huh. Just okay, we're good to go.
So we'll have those to give away at the Custer Street Fair too. If you stop in and say hi, I'll bring a couple boxes of those. We can throw those on the prize.
And that's between 7 and 10, and you know.
Yeah, come on over.
Yep.
Because Custer Fair doesn't start till 10, but you'll be there at 7. So grab your McGriddles and head on over.
I hear that beeping. I heard that on Mike Novak's show, too.
I don't know.
I don't know what it's like. Bloop it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I've heard it on our show last week, and then I just heard it on I've heard it on Mike Novak's show, too.
Yeah, it's floating around there somewhere.
I'll kick the computer a couple times. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Beat it up a little bit.
Yeah, that works.
That always helps.
Yeah. So the other topic I wanted to get to today, we have an expert, Lead Safe Practices trainer on our staff.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. No, he's here. He's with us every week. And rarely do we talk about it. But
it's like stereo instructions.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Finally, the EPA went, oh, we got some easy targets here. Everybody on HGTV, everybody on DIY Network, they're all working on homes that are pre-78, and they're not using lead-safe practices. So they finally find somebody for doing 34 homes, all, and they had video of it all because it's in their TV show.
Yeah,
that they were not using lead-safe practices, and it was a total of $200,000 fine.
Ooh.
For working without lead-safe practices.
Have they been racking that up? They got a guy just watching HGTV going, okay, well, that's another $5.
Well, there's another. I mean, that's what's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so now they got some easy targets.
Yeah, we're coming after you, trading places. We're trading spaces. We're coming after you.
Yeah, coming after you next. So this one, they're in the Dallas area, I guess. What was it called? Flippers? Something like that.
It's not hunters. It's the actual flippers that are going out there doing it.
Yeah, and so it's a husband and wife team. They went out there and they were flipping homes, but they were not using lead-safe practices, nor were they even – they hadn't gone through the training courses or anything.
I think I know the couple that you're talking about. I've seen their show before.
Yeah. I posted it on our Facebook and our Twitter page.
I did not see
the
that.
The show is called Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper, that's it.
Yep. Chip and Joanna Gaines, fined by EPA for lead.
Wow. And
this was in the Tribune, no less.
Yeah.
Okay, so that brings us to the question, what are some lead safe practices?
You ready, Rich? Go.
Yeah. All right, so this is the thing. So when I was training for the EPA in lead safe work practices, the majority of what they want you should be doing anyway. Okay. So just keep it real simple. If you're going to do demolition, remove your kitchen, bathroom, and all of that, you should hang plastic in the hallways and on the floor so that dust doesn't migrate out of your work area into the bedroom.
But you said you could do that anyway, right?
Regardless.
Wouldn't it be common sense if you're a contractor working on somebody's house and you don't close off your work areas and you allow dust to go through the rest of the house, if you don't turn off the HVAC unit, right?
Yeah.
That just means you're an ignorant,
well, you're a jerk
contractor who doesn't care about people's homes.
Yeah, well, you're a jerk.
Well, these shows are the same way. They go walk in with a sledgehammer and they start pounding holes in walls and stuff because it makes for good TV. And if anything, they wear a dust mask, which it's useless.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A dust mask is like a furnace filter. It's made to keep rocks out of your mouth. You know, if you want to protect yourself, you have to wear a respirator.
Yeah.
All right. Wait a minute. 8:27. We've got another.
Gosh, that's great.
We've got another highlight
keep rocks out of your mouth.
We got another 30-second promo.
I mean, that'll keep the paint chips or anything else that's coming through. But you're not getting any of those micro anything. I mean, even if you have to have the full blown mask to really cover anything up. I mean, you got to walk around looking like Bane, or you don't have anything to deal with.
Okay, so the first step is containing your work area. Put up plastic. Now, when you're done with your demolition, before you start doing actual new construction, you clean the space. So you pick up all your plastic and you fold it inward. You don't dump all the debris on the floor. You do not use a shop vac to clean up after yourself. The only kind of vacuum you can suck up with is a HEPA vac.
Right.
So that, again, the microns, right? If you have a HEPA vac, it goes down to 4 microns, you'll get all that stuff. Once you're done with a HEPA vac, you go back over it with wet cloths so that you're basically not allowing dust up in the air. So you go through and do all that stuff. You have reduced or eliminated the lead, the dangers of lead dust, and then you can go on with new construction as if nothing ever happened. So it's like anything else. You do demo first, do all your cleaning, document everything. So these people, all they had to do is put up some plastic, wipe some things down. But like all the TV shows on HGTV and DIY and all that, they don't give a damn. You never see them put up Visqueen anywhere. We just go rip the house apart.
And you rarely see...
This is my contractor, Jose. We get him to do everything.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want that stuff in my hair.
Exactly. Or so they barely wear the proper PPE anyway.
Right.
I mean, they're like you said, they're just wearing those masks that you can buy 12 of in a box and be done with it. But... They put on the big headphones or the earmuffs and the big old glasses, but you rarely see them in long sleeve shirts. They're always in those tight shirts just to show off the muscles. So while they're hammering
this muscle down here, this one.
I got six pack abs and he's carrying a whole case. Yeah.
No. I got a kegger, brother. I got a kegger going here. What you got there for us, Randall?
There's nothing more frustrating when I'm watching those shows than seeing these hosts with beards and then they put on respirators.
Right.
It's like, that's not working, buddy.
Yeah.
Your respirator's got holes in it now.
Exactly.
And so I don't watch those shows. I'm not allowed to. Because I yell at the TV. And then the boss comes
absolutely.
In. She comes in, she grabs the remote and says, "You can't watch us anymore. I'm not listening to you."
No, I get the exact opposite. I get the, I can do that.
Oh, yeah?
I can do that. Yeah. Yeah, this guy can do it. Okay, I can do that.
So as long as I brought it up, then, so let's talk about the discipline of dust mask and a respirator, right?
Sure.
The dust mask is what you buy. You can get a package of 10 for what, $10?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're disposable dust masks. And those things are absolutely useless. If you look, though, and you go into a store, you're going to see respirators will have an N or a P95 or more on them, and that means it'll capture 95% what comes into it, and it will, so it's more protection. The N and the P are two big things. The N means there's no petroleum or sweat protection. The P means you've got protection from sweat and oils, which means they will last twice as long.
Okay.
So the P's only cost a couple of cents more. Always buy minimum P95. And then the last thing with those is that they are a little harder to breathe when you're wearing them. So, if you got a heart condition or whatever, and if you're going to give them to employees, that kicks off a whole nother set of rules. They got to have fit tests and notes from doctors saying they're capable of working with them. So there's some caveats that come with all that. But my point when I was training is this is not that difficult to comply with.
Yeah.
It's just people don't like rules.
Well, if you got a respirator, just take a break for a little bit. Yeah, it's harder to breathe out of it, but, I mean, you need some of that fresh air regardless.
Right. That's exactly it. Yep. All right, we'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And also, let's see, what comes up next there? We should have there's the Mighty House logo. That comes up next.
Yeah.
And then what else do we have? AWM Construction, awmroofing.com for all your roofing and gutter needs. They'll get you squared away. Fast Signs of Lincolnwood, it's 80@fastsigns.com for more information. And our buddies at Mr. Floor, just go to mrfloor.com. And that's it, 1590 WCGO.
Yeah.
We're back to the beginning there. So.
There you go. It's 8 seconds.
Eight seconds.
You think you can... You can time out those reads for 8 seconds.
Maybe.
That's how long it takes for those to cycle through.
Okay, cool.
Every 8 seconds it turns.
All right, excellent. And we're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House.
You guys got YouTube, too, right?
Yep. Yeah, we got the YouTube channel running, and we're posting the Tip of the Week and Clutter Clarity up there, and we're
good
putting
deal.
Those up every week. So those will be followed up there. And,
Dozola?
Huh?
Dozola?
Dozola.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Dozola.
Dozola. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline, 877-711-5611. You have your choice. You'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Look at that. Fuzzy Robbie nailed it.
Wait, who did the sound effect? That's perfect. That's money.
Randall's jumping into the game now.
He's warmed up now.
That's awesome. It.
Halfway through the show, warmed up now.
He just woke up.
Hey.
You know, the coffee's finally kicking in. He's good to go. He's talking about his old days being at the sewer facility.
I know.
It's water treatment plant. So he's like reminiscing with us.
Exactly.
He's like getting all sucked into the
that's
show.
The best part about this show is you can go in and say, I've done something similar. I mean, I haven't done everything that you guys have done, but I can at least compare a little bit. And I think everybody's got that. Everybody's got that one Saturday afternoon, either working for your dad or that one Saturday afternoon where half of your house fell apart.
Uh-huh.
And you have to like, okay, well, now there just went my day. I'm running back to the Home Depot 5 or 6 times. But everybody's got that time.
How does this bifold door go back up? This damn thing. This bifold door keeps falling off. It sits off in the side now because it can't get it back in.
Exactly.
There was a reason there was a hole in my wall as a child because I threw one of those through because I got so frustrated.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's it. So,
Rook. I've never done that.
Yeah, Rook, make sure that the pins are in the top. And you got two pins. And then there's usually an adjustment screw on the bottom, so slide it up in there, adjust that screw on the pivot side, and it'll adjust it up, and you'll be ready to go.
But there you go.
Most of the time, you find those things sitting off to the side. Mm-hmm. The other thing you can do is lubricate those the threads in there, because a lot of times they get to they start hanging up. So every time you're closing it or opening it, you're like winding it down.
So,
you know,
okay.
So you want to make sure
it's like self-adjusting and not helping you out very well.
Right. And then all of a sudden, the one time you open it, it falls on you. It's because every time you open it, it's unwinding itself and lowering it every time. So if you lubricate those threads.
The thing I see the most where people screw up is they don't have the door actually up high enough. And most of the times, because they went and bought one at a box store, brought it home, tried to install it, but never put a little piece of 1x2 on top of the carpet to raise the lower bracket up. So now your extension is too high and a door becomes wobbly. So you want to make sure that, you know, you put that thing up there kind of as snug as you can.
Yep.
And then it gives you more room to lower that ting down, the pin, the fixed pin.
Yeah, the pivot pin.
Well, once they become loose, I just throw them away and put up a curtain anyway. It's way easier to just hang a curtain to just be done. And you look fashionable. You're like, hey, I got
don't lie to me, sonar.
I got curtains.
The hippie beads.
Yeah, the hippie beads, the ones where they stay still, it's Bob Marley's face.
Uh-huh.
If they're not moved.
I can see Fuzzy Robbie doing that.
Yeah, Fuzzy Robbie could do that. And probably their spring-loaded ones.
Because
it's a 5-foot tub, it's a 5-foot door opening, you take the spring-loaded curtain rod, boom, pop it in there, you're done.
Done. Twist and lock. That's the...
Yeah.
See? Twist and lock.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the permanent fix.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I installed a like a shower curtain rod, and of course I installed it upside down.
Sure.
And then it was one of those ones that like bend.
Yeah, it's the bow.
Give the extras. That takes space out of the rest of your bathroom.
Yes, it does.
Like I had to explain that to my old lady. I was
your boss?
The boss lady. I'm sorry. Yeah. The boss lady. I'd explain that to the boss lady. I was like, do you know if if you put more space in the shower, there's less space in the rest of the bathroom.
Right.
So now when I'm on the John right there, 6 inches from my face, my shower curtain.
It's hanging.
It's right there. Like, oh, man.
Uh-huh. But you got more room when you're in the shower.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
and it does, you know, the how the plastic sucks up and gets stuck to you, mm-hmm. and you're constantly trying to peel
it. Just get rid of it, that static and everything.
Getting rid of it.
That's why you buy the ones with magnets in the bottom.
Right.
There you go.
Until you've got
a fiberglass tub.
Yeah. And there's, why don't these magnets work?
Yeah, exactly.
Now they're just weights.
Yeah. It's exactly still, it.
Exactly. That's it. They're just weights.
Just holding it.
What other things, just home improvement wise, like just real little ticks, like that type of thing? How do you readjust? Everybody out there's had a loose toilet seat before.
Sure.
Where do we go to fix that? Do I just got to buy another one and stick it in there? Or do I got to turn
a lot of times it's
locks?
Just when you put the lid down and right where the hinge pins are, there's little mm-hmm. covers. You pop those up. And if you reach underneath, there's just a screw. It's just a nylon screw, and you just bolt, and you can tighten it up.
There you go.
And it's done.
Everybody's had that issue before, mm-hmm. just like the closet doors. Everybody's had that closet door fall on them, or not, you have to pull it down to get it back into the railing or anything like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
One of the things that we did post this week is the TV bracket. Somebody used, I think there was 8 Molly bolts.
Yeah. Whoa.
They used 8 Molly bolts to hold it into the half-inch drywall, and then when they hung their TV up...
Just went.
It just came right down.
Yeah.
So
actually,
yeah,
there's something to that picture. I'll let you finish, but I don't know if you caught why it came down. If it was a standard TV bracket, it would have been fine.
So, but they had like 4 on the top, 4 mm-hmm. on the bottom, and they drilled straight holes all the way across. So, and then they had all those brackets on the back, so they kind of loosened it up. Mm-hmm. To me, because they went across... And then they had 2 lines in there, so the drywall was ready to cut. And as soon as you put some weight on there, it just started to go. But what did you catch in there, Rich?
That was the extending TV bracket.
Yes.
He didn't hang it on the wall and have the weight being straight down. Mm-hmm. He hung that thing and pulled it out. So now your weight is 18 inches from the wall, mm-hmm. so now you've got more... force. You don't have to be an engineer to figure out gravity and stuff, you know.
Right.
So yes, he made it much worse
but
by
it,
buying that type because
it was
bracket.
Set in the corner, so then it looks like he pulled it out and then turned it
mm-hmm.
so that way it would face into the room.
Yeah,
great idea. Let's connect it to the studs next time.
Okay, so what was he supposed to do?
So
find a stud and then go from there, mm-hmm. or
you'll locate. Go ahead, Rich.
Especially since it was an articulating TV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's that type of bracket, you definitely can hit a stud and then move the TV left, right, swing it out so that you can view it better.
And I just need the one, right? I just find a stud and put it in there. So anywhere along because most of the brackets are like what, maybe a third the size of a TV when you put it in there.
Most of those
and
base
pretty
plates,
heavy gauge steel. They're not going to bend that easy.
Yeah, trust me.
And they're about 20. They're about 20 inches wide generally, and your studs are 14 to 16 inches on center, so they're 14 and a half inches apart.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where you put that 20 inch plate, you're gonna be able to at least hit one stud. Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is just to keep it, I guess, flush up against the case it does bend or anything else.
Right.
And trust me, Rich, I know that those plates are pretty heavy because Ron had installed ours on the other side of the building, and I couldn't get that bolt out. So I had to take the big old
bolt cutters.
I guess the universal lock, the universal skeleton key. To pretty much cut a triangle out of it so I could slide it around that bolt, because there was no way that bolt's coming out. With your impact drill, that thing's there forever.
Uh-huh.
Like people are going to find that, like archaeologists are going to find that bolt in that cement.
Well, that's because it was in that cinder block.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And what I did was I used Tapcon's. You know, it's a masonry lag bolt is what those
are. Yeah, it was that big old blue guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used that to hang the other ones.
Yeah.
And those are hardened screws on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I put it in, I mixed it to where some were in the mortar and some were in the actual block itself.
Yep.
So I think the weight is on the block right now.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, it's the sheer weight. It's got to be right up against the wall for those to even work.
Yep.
I mean, because everybody's had shelves like that that just fall. The first time you ever put up shelves, you put them in with those
finished nails.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, finished nails. I hit it all the way through and it just fell. but no, it's the you said the Molly
bolts.
Yeah. And what are the other, if I didn't have a stud there, what would I use? I know I ask this question all the time because this is what people are putting up.
I've used a certain type of plastic wall anchor. Mm-hmm. It looks like a Molly, but they're plastic. I have to find the name of them. They're awesome.
Okay.
You drill a 5/8 hole, you slide the thing in, it's got two plastic that you pull, and it tightens everything up, make sure mm-hmm. that your backing is there, and you run your screw in there. And the 5/8 ones will hold 100 pounds each.
Okay. Because that's what you want. You want that backing. If you don't have that backing, your pressure is all in that one shoot.
Right.
And if you don't have enough tension to kind of fill that hole,
right,
you don't have anything.
Right. And usually when we hang TVs, we're going to use a 3/8 lag bolt, and we're going to pre-drill it into a stud and then run those lag bolts in. And you're running 2-inch lag bolts in there, you know, with a washer, so that way – that secures it, holds it in place. It's not going to come down.
So it's not one of those things you just put as many bolts in there as you can.
No.
And actually, to Ron's point, that guy created a bigger problem by using so many because he literally
cut a line through.
Put so many holes in the drywall that he weakened it. If he'd have just done 4 in the corners, it might have actually stayed.
Yeah.
Instead, he perforated it to where he was going to take out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Exactly. We'll be back right after this.
Is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
Mics are live. That's what the man behind the glass just said. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor Helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at Mr. Floor.
.com. Sorry.
Fuzzy Robbie, come on. Happened.
You just soothed me with your voice. I was spellbound.
Oh, yeah, sure. What was that, Randall? What'd you say?
No, really, it was. I was thinking about my responsibilities as the Robbie fill-in. I was what am I going to talk about for clutter clarity?
Yeah, well,
better figure something out.
There was that chirping thing again. Did you hear it?
I
heard it that time.
I just gained 10 points of experience.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what that was. I leveled up.
You're leveled up. Okay, good.
Oh, now I got too much.
All right, Ron, before we let him rip on the see if he's going to do clutter clarity, just to finish up, we were talking about last segment. So at Big Orange,
yes,
they make these things called strap toggles.
Strap toggles, okay.
Google strap toggle, and I'll tell you what, that's all I would use to hang something in drywall. That's all I use now. These things are so cool because you know you've got something strong, and a 1/4-inch ones I believe will hold 100 pounds each.
Wow.
And they have them at Big Orange, you know, so they're easy to get.
Strap toggle TV mounts.
Okay.
So what's cool with them is, so you drill your hole in the drywall, 1/2-inch or 5/8, depending on which one you're using. You put the toggle in there and you pull back on the strap, so that the toggle, you know, is laying flush to the back of the drywall. Then it's got a little plastic ring. You slide down that strap into the face of the drywall, and it's all held in place nice and tight. You wiggle the strap. The straps break off, and then you just run your screws in.
Yeah, here, take here, look
so
at right
you
here.
So you know somewhere. They're sitting perfect. Those things are awesome. I wish my dad had invented them, because then I wouldn't have to work.
Yeah, see, look at that.
Okay.
So you push it through,
yeah.
And there. So it's like that. See? So,
okay, so it just
it
turns
folds and you push in there and you pull it back and it holds it in place. I have not tried those. I will have to try that.
I can assure you, Ron, that will be the only thing you carry in your truck from now on.
Really?
Yeah, they look great because it's that same principle. So essentially, drywall is just rock.
Yes.
You're just going gypsum. In there and you're breaking up that gypsum in there. And it's the paper that really keeps that tension, because that's what the whole point of this thing is, that it's compressed. It's one self-contained unit.
Yep.
With these that you're talking about, the strap, what are they called again?
It's a strapless what, Rich? What's it called?
The strap toggle?
Strap toggle.
Okay, so the strap toggle adds that plate or that bar on the opposite side of where you're drilling,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. there's insulation or anything else, because essentially gypsum is just to pretty up the inside of the room, so we're not looking at cotton candy the entire time.
Exactly. Right.
So you put that in, it holds that tension from the paper, and then now instead of the wedge force like with the Molly mm-hmm. bolts or whatever they are, instead of the wedge type of simple machine, now it's you trying to pull that entire bar through everything, right. through two layers
and
of paper.
You have control of that bar.
Yeah.
So, and the other ones I use.
Like the problem is most people go to the store and they see the little trays and they say hollow wall anchor.
Right.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, don't use those.
Yeah, you get a big old tray of them. I use the blue ones.
That's like bad with all capital letters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are fine with, like, hanging up a picture or anything like that. Oh, she's come to save me.
Yes, she did.
Oh, so I don't have to do clutter clarity by myself.
Outstanding.
Pull that up. Do we have a – oh, we got to plug in these headphones for you, too. Try those headphones. See if they're plugged in there. Either one. Yeah. Oh, he's got – there's a pair right there for Shay. So
that's pretty good. You dodged a bullet there, Fuzzy Robbie.
Man.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about putting those muffin little cupcake guys in your cup holder in your car. Like I was gonna do a whole car kind of life hack type of thing. But no, thank you, Shay, very much for coming in here. See, I'm already struggling talking about what I might have talked about.
Right. See, we were and I don't know if you were listening there, Shay. We're calling him Fuzzy Robbie today because, you know, he's Fuzzy
Robbie.
Very
appropriate. I like that.
So, and at this point, I'm almost thinking we wait until the top of the hour to officially start this.
Yeah, you might as well.
You'll
only have a full segment. So.
Yeah, because that's good. So, Shay Lewis from Mission to Organize, is that correct?
It is.
Excellent. Stopping in to fill in for Robbie. To do the Clutter Clarity segment.
And not sing.
Not sing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But you do dance.
I do dance. Okay. Yeah.
Between the three of us guys, I'm not so sure we could actually put together a good Clutter Clarity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No,
oh,
probably.
You could. I have faith in you.
Oh, no. You've not seen my garage.
Yeah, that's it. See, I won't let Robbie into my garage. She can't come out there. You know? Because, I've got everything is stacked up. I know where everything is. Mm-hmm. But it I don't think it looks very neat and tidy.
Yeah, we just moved the space. We just moved the mess.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the mess was here. If I don't want the mess in my house, I just go get a storage unit.
Right.
And then the mess can live there.
Yeah. Well, like he said, he knows where everything is. He can find everything.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. very important.
Well, that's key.
Is it still considered a mess if you can find everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So, we had... I was out in the garage working, and my wife was watching some neighbor kids, and the boy came out, and we were fixing something, and he said, "Why do you have all those screws, and why are they all in those jars like that, and why don't we just go to the store and get it?" I said, "I don't have to go to the store. I've got it here."
Yeah.
And I said, and he says, "But there's so many of them."
Yeah, and you've got them in different jars, too. It's just not a grab bag in each jar, like 12 jars of mixed.
No, I've got the old baby food jars.
Oh.
Where you take the lid, you screw it to the bottom of the shelf, and so then I've got washers and split washers and wood bolts, threaded rod, all this.
That sounds like a good video segment for you guys to go out to your garage and look at that.
But then
in my own defense, my garage is really, I have a nice shelving units across, and then I have bins and everything is labeled plumbing or electrical, tile, concrete. It's not like it's all just whipped up on the shelf.
Oh, mine is.
So
the shelves are all over the place. And then when you buy this, whatever you bought, you know, that still has the hanging and it's still in the package. I've got that screwed in there and hanging all over the place. So,
okay.
But yeah, the stuff that actually fits on the shelf, it just gets tossed up.
So the jars are the highlight point.
Yes, that's the good part.
Go. Hey.
That's the good part.
And somewhere. With like a little tweak, you might find that it's pretty amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just saying.
Just saying?
Yeah.
Just saying.
I bet you could, Robbie could get her fingers on and do some damage.
Oh, no. You don't need 15 of these tape measures. Yes, I do. Why do you have 40 screwdrivers? Because I like them. I need 40 screwdrivers.
What if 39 of my friends want to come over and build a birdhouse?
Right. Thank you.
What was that, Rich? What'd you say, Rich?
You never have too many screwdrivers.
That's right.
No. Chisels, punches, or pry bars.
That's right. I got a big coffee jars, you know, coffee cans, and all the screwdrivers are in them. But then they're also lined up on the back wall. Because
if I just took a picture of my hammer drawer, that might just freak somebody out.
You have an entire drawer for hammers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, you need a welding hammer, and then you need the ball peen hammers, different size ball peen hammers. And you got your finishing hammers. And then you've got your
dead
regular,
rubber mallet.
Oh yeah, rubber mallets, dead blows. I mean, so there's all these different hammers. You got to have them all.
I guess a hammer drawer beats a hammer bucket. I mean, there's always that. I mean, it could be worse. A hammer wheelbarrow.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for the news, and we'll come back with Shay Lewis from Mission to Organize, and we'll have an official Clutter Clarity next.
There you go.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.